Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a potentially explosive Wednesday. I think you know what I'm talking about. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. It is a great day. We are on the eve of the 4th of July in America. Very, very fun. I'm wearing a little red, white, and blue today. And I'll probably wear it tomorrow as well. It's my favorite holiday, Joy. I've said that for years. My favorite holiday.
It is your favorite holiday.
Stuff gets blown up. I love it. It's beer.
Do you participate in the fireworks?
Oh, absolutely. I love fireworks.
Like, you actually set off fireworks.
Oh, yes. In my driveway, I've done horribly inappropriate things with explosives.
I don't do well with fire. I set my hair on fire once, I felt like that was a sign. I should avoid all fire-related activities.
Well, it's great to have you in on a Wednesday. Folks, sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, there's a topic, and I find myself, I'll use this term. Oh, I'm looking through the wrong end of the telescope. I want to give you a fact, and I think even though you know it, I want to remind you of it. Since 2010, what year is it? 2019? Since 2010, 7 different teams have won an NBA title. Just let that soak in as you drive around the country or as you're watching. 7. Lakers, Mavs, Heat, Spurs, Warriors, Cavs, Raptors. Folks, player movement creates parity. You're looking through the wrong end of the telescope. We have players now, multiple players, star players, playing with championship rosters who leave them. Kawhi Leonard is playing for maybe the best GM and the best roster in the league. I am out of here. What? Kevin Durant with a dynasty. I'm going to take less. I'm out of here. What? Jimmy Butler with a championship contending team in Philadelphia. I'm going to go to Miami and play for a 7th seed. What are they doing? The mobility ends the possibility, in this instance, of repeat champions and dynasties. This is the most different champions we've had since the 70s. And the critics of the NBA are simply looking, as I would call it, through the wrong end of the telescope. Now, I want you to think about mobility. We have all these stars leaving championship teams and leaving contenders for less qualified teams, less proven front offices, less proven owners. Because this is who we are in America. This is our DNA. We don't demand that you have milk in our grocery stores. Of the 208 countries, a third of them just people go into the grocery store hoping for milk. We demand we have soy and 1% and skim and whole and almond and oat. In fact, I am so needy, I have refused to go to grocery stores that don't have the kind of milks, plural, that I have, that I want. Things in this country that are taboo. You give us choices, they'll become norms. Dating online. You're going to meet a guy you just met online. It is now an industry. Getting into a stranger's car. It's what your mom warned you about. Stranger drove up to my house last night. Get in. All right. Matching license plate on Uber matches. I'll just get into a stranger's car. Taboo. It's the only way I travel. Because in America, we demand choices. And when you give them to talented people, oh, my friends, they take them. Even for less money. Even leaving better coworkers. Even leaving better management and ownership. Kawhi Leonard's going to probably leave Toronto. That's the best GM in the sport. Kevin Durant just left Golden State. That's the dynasty in the sport. Jimmy Butler just left the Philadelphia team that's got like 7 good players. I mean, Joy and I last year were like, I think Philadelphia has the most good players after Golden State. He's like, well, I'm going to go play for a 7th seed. They have nice water down there, no tax. This is what we are. Let me take you now, you fear mongers, to a time in America when we did not have mobility and players did not have options. The Boston Celtics, Bill Russell, didn't have the option to leave. They won 11 titles in 13 years. In college basketball, UCLA, players couldn't transfer. They won 10 titles in 12 years, an 88-game winning streak. The transfer portal creates parity. Kentucky's landing all the good players, yes, and they leave after 1 year, ready or not. Duke got the three best players in high school basketball and didn't win a title because they weren't quite ready to dominate college basketball. It's all fear-mongering. People are looking through the wrong end of the telescope. The Montreal Canadiens dominated hockey in the 60s, 70s. Nobody dominates it now. Eight seeds beat one seeds. Canadian teams struggle with American teams. There are no Celtics. There is no UCLA basketball. It's nonsense. When I go to a grocery store in America, I not only look and seek for the kind of milk I like, I demand it or I don't go to the grocery store. And when you give people options in America, they will take them. We fight so hard for these freedoms. We fight so hard for these options that stuff that's taboo. These are now societal norms. Kevin Durant, 1 year into the Warriors, all the fear-mongering. 1 year in, he was already restless. He was already... Kyrie Irving hit the game-winning shot, played with LeBron. 2 months later, he was already restless. Kawhi, Toronto, 1 year, already restless. Take a deep breath. Kawhi to the Lakers. It ain't going to last 9 years. 6-4. I don't know if it will last 2. Player movement creates parity. And for an individual, you and I, Kevin Durant, went from Mr. Underreliable to the game's best player because of movement. In 3 weeks, look at how interesting the Pelicans have become. Look at the Utah Jazz in 5 days. You see it as a negative. I see it as an absolute defining positive. Since 2010, the NBA has 7 different champions. The Celtics without mobility, 11 titles, 13 years. All right, here's a headline this morning. Lakers think they're leading on Kawhi Leonard. I said yesterday, that's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing everybody's got a shot, but Toronto and the Lakers have the lead, and it's slight. Now, this is something, and Kawhi is different, but I want to remind you, everybody that takes meetings almost always leaves. Chris Bosh had a meeting with Miami. LeBron, Gordon Hayward had a meeting with Boston. Dwight Howard had a meeting. DeMarcus Aldridge had a meeting with the Spurs. Jimmy Butler went down, flew himself to Miami. Kemba Walker was in Boston. Kawhi Leonard is taking meetings. That's essentially aggressively flirting. Paul George did not take a meeting, stayed in OKC. Klay Thompson did not have a meeting, stayed in San Francisco. Chris Paul last year, player option, did not have a meeting, he stayed. You do not sign up for Match.com when you're in a happy marriage. That doesn't mean you're miserable. That doesn't mean your life is awful. But what would Kawhi Leonard learn from a call to Magic Johnson and a steak dinner with Jerry West that his own people couldn't decipher? I looked in my life this morning as I drove to work, and I thought to myself, oh, I'm 4 for 4. Every time I took a meeting, I left. Tampa, Portland, a meeting with ESPN, at a meeting with FS1. And in all 4 cases, I was offered significantly more money, except FS1. I'm not leaving here. But in the other ones, I was offered jobs to stay, and I wasn't miserable, and I was offered more money. But I took a meeting. And when you take a meeting, that generally means just something is missing. Bryce Harper took a meeting. He left. Manny Machado in baseball took a meeting. He left. You know who didn't take a meeting? Mike Trout. He's got everything he wants in Anaheim. I don't think there's a ton missing in Toronto. I really don't. Owner, GM, players, culture, scouting. But it is, let's be honest, the one team in the NBA in another country. Now, the country's close. We can see it from here. And it's smart, and it's diverse, and it's kind of wealthy, and it's global. But you turn on the TV and you see their shows and not our shows, and we've had several players say that it is a little different when you play in Canada. Steve Nash, by the way, Canadian, once turned down the Raptors. Vancouver, one of my favorite cities, in fact, probably my favorite city in North America, kept the Grizzlies for about an hour. So I'm just saying, when you have a meeting, it doesn't mean you're miserable, but it generally means, A, there is something missing, and B, you generally leave.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This is the way it is I remember reading something about this. America builds up celebrities and loves to tear them down. You know, you've heard that cliche before. We love to build up celebrities and then poke holes in them. We love LeBron early, then he got great, now we want to poke holes in him. We want to bury the New England Patriots, but they just, as long as they've got Brady, who's a great player willing to take a pay cut and is totally committed to winning, they're fine. The Warriors have Steph Curry, who is a great teammate, totally committed to winning. I'll recruit a guy who's better than me. It's a huge advantage. Remember, players don't always choose winning as their top priority. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were winning. They chose being the man. Carmelo Anthony was winning in Denver. He wanted to play in New York. He chose another city. Jimmy Butler was winning in Philadelphia. He just chose Miami. Not all great players prioritize winning. Tim Duncan did in San Antonio, allowing the Spurs to get more good players. He took pay cuts. Tom Brady has prioritized winning, pay cuts. Steph Curry has prioritized winning. I'll go put my arms around and recruit Kevin Durant. Most guys wouldn't recruit a guy that's better than them. Okay, so this is a big advantage for New England. That's why I keep saying, don't bury the dynasty yet. When your top player is your culture builder and he has prioritized winning. A lot of people prioritize a city, a teammate, a coast, money. I get it. Those are important things too. But I'll just say this about the Warriors. You're all burying them. And you know what they've done in the last 3 days? They got Willie Cauley-Stein, a young big who runs the court well, 12 points, 8 rebounds, who'll be on his best behavior. For nothing. They signed Kayvon Looney, a young big, for nothing. They got D'Angelo Russell in essentially a swap sign and trade for Andre Iguodala. Nothing. They added 3 young, talented pieces and went to Target and got Target discount prices for it. I'm watching all these teams overpay for average players. D'Angelo Russell was an all-star and a number 2 pick. Willie Cauley-Stein's a 12-8 guy and a number 6 pick. Add that to Steph, Clay, Draymond, and a great head coach in Kayvon Looney. They're not going anywhere. If Kawhi doesn't choose the Lakers, I'm taking Golden State to win it again next year. They got Willie Cauley-Stein and Kayvon Looney. They're 2 bigs for nothing to go along with. And by the way, I read a story this morning on Clay. He got his surgery 2 days ago. They say it's 5 to 7 months. So I'll pick the middle number, 6. That means he'll be ready January 1st. So January 1st, he's back. And let's give him 4 weeks after that to get into game shape. February 3rd, the trading deadline. So they could move D'Angelo or, by the way, have 3 guards, 3 all-star level guards. We're all looking. And the other thing to remember here is that, you know, Kevin Durant is a very restless soul. That's fine. He's a little bit of a wanderer. We had people tell us that, like his second year in. The advantage to that the Warriors knew he was a wanderer. They didn't open the door one day and the husband left. Where did my wife go? She left you. No heads up. We had a party last night. He was restless, and so they were kind of ready for this. This is Bob Myers. This is Steve Kerr. You know, if you were asking them privately, in fact, I remember about 4 months ago I'm doing a show, and I brought on Marcus Thompson, and he's like, oh, yeah, they think he's leaving. And I'm like, well, I don't. And he's like, oh, they've come to terms with it. So when you're with a flirter and you're with somebody that's restless, it doesn't really catch you off guard. Just think, 3 days ago, Kevin Durant left. 3 days ago. Walked out the door. And in 3 days, if you don't think they didn't have a plan, they've signed an all-star guard, a very young, productive big, and got Kayvon Looney wedged into a contract that's about 70% his value. If Kawhi doesn't sign with the Lakers, this team's winning the championship. This team's 38-5 without Kevin Durant. They just upgraded at center. So, you know, it's when Kevin Durant's restless, wandering nature kind of actually was a bit of an advantage. As long as the Spurs had Duncan, Patriots had Brady, Warriors have Steph, a star that has prioritized winning, you can sell that stock. I'll still buy it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I've said for years, don't try to get happier than happy. Like if you said to somebody, you know, when you're about to die, how was your life? I was happy all the time. That's good. If you can be happy, don't try to get happier. The other thing, I try to live by that. Like, if I have a good day, I don't have to have a great day every day. That's not realistic. The other thing I kind of live by is I'm not trying to find perfect people. Like, when you get into a relationship, nobody's perfect. I know when you date somebody for 6 months, everybody thinks everybody's perfect, but everybody's got liabilities. Don't try to change them. Just kind of try to complement the yin for the yang. Find what you do well, what they don't do well. You're not going to find a perfect partner. So Ben Simmons plays for the Sixers, and I love his game. The kid's 22 years old. He gives you 17 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and 55% from the floor. He's unbelievable at 22 years old, and he's a very good defender. He's got vision like I've never seen. He's a 6'10 point. But you're all trying to make him a perfect player. What about his jumper? He's never going to be a great shooter. So stop it. Surround him with great shooters. Take the gifts God gave him, or whoever gives you those gifts. Take the gifts and stop trying to create the perfect partner. This is why I don't get the contract yesterday. He got a 5-year, $170 million deal. I would love that, except for the fact he's top 3 in the NBA getting the ball to shooters, and you've given up 8 of them in 2 years. In the last 2.5 years, the Sixers have had 8 shooters. You've given them all up. Marco Bellinelli, Landry Shamet, J.J. Redick, Dario Saric, Wilson Chandler, Robert Covington, Ilya Sova, and Jimmy Butler. All guys he would work perfectly with. And instead, you got Al Horford, who clogs the lane, which is the one problem, and you sign him to a long-term deal. So you got this player who's got the ball all the time, like the quarterback of your team. He's the James Harden. He's got the ball all the time. He works great getting the ball with shooters. And you've gotten rid of all your shooters. And he also is fantastic if you keep the lane clear because he finishes at the rim. Oh, no, you just went and got more guys to clog up the middle. Like the Lakers with Magic Johnson figured it out. Magic's the second, third best player I've ever seen. But Magic was an average defender and was never a great shooter. Magic's most famous shot was a hook shot against the Celtics down the lane. So what do the Lakers do? They surrounded Magic with shooters, and they always had a rim protector because guys got past Magic. He was such a massively big point guard. These tiny guys could get around Magic. They were quicker. He was never a quick guy. He ran the court, but Magic was never super quick. So little guys would get around him. That was okay. And it had a rim protector. And then Magic could get the rebound. Kareem outlet to Magic, and Magic was off to the races. Byron Scott that side. James Worthy to the left. The Lakers didn't try to make Magic perfect. They took his gifts, 6'9.5", giving, could see the court better than anybody ever. Like the Wayne Gretzky in hockey, just saw things nobody else saw. And the Lakers are like, okay, he's imperfect. He's not a great defender. So we will make sure that we get Michael Cooper on the team. Why? Because Michael Cooper was a great defender who could shoot. So Magic doesn't have the best player. So this is what the Warriors did with Steph Curry. The Warriors are like, Steph's kind of a bad defender. So we're going to make sure that we get a very tall 6'7", 2 guard named Klay Thompson, who's a great defender, and add Draymond Green, and add Andre Iguodala. Why? Because they're not trying to make Steph a great defender. They love his offense. It's a gift from God. He shoots from the parking lot, and they're not trying to make him perfect. And so they're like, okay, we'll surround him with good defenders so he can concentrate in his offense. By the way, the New England Patriots don't go out very often, especially in the last 4 years as Tom Brady has aged, and get speed receivers. They get slot guys. They're not demanding, Tom, throw the ball deep better. It's like, nah, he doesn't really do that. Tom's great on intermediates and in. So they get him tight ends, and they get him slot receivers, and they get him running backs who can catch. New England takes what Tom gives them, senses what he doesn't do well, his liabilities, and they don't try to perfect it. They just build around it. The Warriors build around Steph's bad defense. Philadelphia, hey, listen, we got eight shooters, and you're great getting them the ball, but you know what? No, we're going to trade all of them, clog the middle of the lane up. You better get better at that shooting thing. If you're going to sign him to that contract, you better figure out what he does well, because what he does well, he's great at. He's absolutely unbelievable. This kid is an all-time talent. Get it and build around what he doesn't do instead of trying to perfect your partner. There are no perfect players, and there are no perfect spouses and mates. It doesn't work that way. There's no perfect friends. All right. My soapbox. Lord. You know, it's funny. This morning I was sitting down. I'm like, God, they've given up like three shooters. I started writing down all the shooters on a piece of paper, and I'm like, hell, they've given up eight guys who can shoot.
It is admittedly a strange strategy. It's odd.
Let's just get taller. By the way, what did they do in the draft? They went and got the best defensive player in the draft who can't shoot. So they've gotten bigger and let the shooters all go. When you have one of the great, you have the Magic Johnson of my lifetime, really a very, a 6'10 point guard. This is not the man upstairs who creates us. This is what the man upstairs says with basketball players. At 6'5, that's as tall as I'm going to allow you to be a point guard. And then a couple guys slip through. Magic and Ben Simmons like slip through and they're like, oh, they're like centers. No, they're point guards. All right. Take that and just like thank the heavens. Thank you, 6'10 guard. And just build around that. It's crazy talk.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There have been a lot of rumors going on in the NBA. The one I never bought, and I said it during the time, I didn't buy Kyrie to the Lakers for like a million reasons. He's from New Jersey. I was told very early by an NBA player he's going to New Jersey. So I never bought the Kyrie-LeBron thing. A story came out yesterday, Joy. It's interesting. LeBron never recruited him. They spoke. But LeBron never recruited him. And people would say, well, why? Well, why? They don't like each other. No. This is where LeBron's very smart. And Michael Jordan would do this. I remember most of you didn't watch Michael Jordan. You just read about him or you see the YouTube. Especially if you're under 33 years old. You didn't watch a lot of Jordan. Michael Jordan was very good at picking his spots. Michael Jordan's head would steam twice a game. Like, Michael would give you like 7 minutes of relentless. But Michael would also sit back, let Scotty take over, pick his spots. He was very, very smart about that. And LeBron's gotten very smart about this. Why? I'll make a prediction. My first prediction was Kyrie will not be a Laker. My second prediction is Kyle Korver will not be a Laker. They're defensive liabilities. You get to the playoffs, matchup, six-game series, seven-game series, they're liabilities. Who is LeBron actively recruiting that we know? Anthony Davis, great defender. Reportedly, according to a story this morning, Kawhi Leonard. By the way, who did he want the Lakers to keep? Kyle Kuzma. By the way, who did he befriend last year? Rondo. Because LeBron knows he's only got so many minutes on these legs. So if you've got JaVale McGee, who I believe is going to come back, and Anthony Davis, LeBron never has to protect the rim. If he has Kyle Kuzma and Kawhi Leonard, great wing defenders, he never has to take the best wing. If he's got Rondo at the point guard, he never has to guard the best guard. LeBron is befriending and recruiting guys who can play both ends. I don't think Kyle Korver's going to land here. I've heard stories about it. I don't think he will. And my takeaway is because LeBron doesn't, he's been in this league long enough. He's only got so many minutes on these legs. He wants to use those minutes on the offensive end. That's where he wants to control it. And so I never bought the Kyrie Irving situation. And I think, from what I hear, Rondo and JaVale McGee and Kuzma will be the only three Lakers back. Do you think it's a coincidence? They're all very good defenders. One a rim defender, one a wing defender. and won a backcourt defender. And I think it's very smart. I think LeBron is picking his spots. Anybody that is a defensive liability, do not buy the story that LeBron is really interested in him. He called Kyrie. He didn't recruit him. He wanted to be good with Kyrie. He didn't want to have any enemies. LeBron's not that kind of guy. He didn't want to have league enemies. He didn't recruit him. By the way, he went to D. Wade, elite defender. LeBron figured this out halfway through his career. I want to be around guys who can defend. So I think it's quite funny. For some reason, it's okay if men are bravado. We love Muhammad Ali. I am the greatest. We like Michael Jordan, who punched the teammate. We love when our guys have a little machismo. But man, if a woman is a little 1 second sip of tea cocky, whoa, 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 whoa. Alex Morgan against England yesterday. Watch this.
Horan setting it in there. Header. Go! Happy birthday, Alex Morgan.
Oh, she sipped tea. And English soccer star Leanne Sanderson was not happy about this. At all.
I expected Alex to grab a goal, but I'm not that happy with that celebration. You can celebrate however you want, but that for me is a bit distasteful. And I don't think she needs to do that. She can celebrate however she wants. And I'm a big believer in the Americans and how they celebrate. But for me, this was a little bit disrespectful. I could be wrong, but it's based upon playing against England and we love our tea in England. I'm not a tea drinker, but, you know, that's what we're connected with. So I'm a little bit, I think it's a little bit distasteful.
So England thinks we're a little over the top. Canadian broadcasters, after we beat Thailand 13-0, remember this? It almost sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit.
If you were going to blow away a team, do it with humility. And they did not. Megan Rapinoe has scored countless goals on the international stage. She was celebrating like she had her first. When you're Alex Morgan, too, and you're counting out your goals, it was just unacceptable.
Well, I understand there's a goal differential race in this tournament. I understand they're nervous about drawing Sweden later in the tournament, but this was disgraceful from the United States. I would have hoped they could have won with humility and grace, but celebrating goals 8, 9, 10, the way they were doing, is really unnecessary.
Oh, Lord. Oh, stop. And you know what? This doesn't bother me because I don't care what people think about America. We've got to stop worrying what everybody thinks about it. Canada cares so deeply what people think about them. England cares what their allies think about them. We don't. We're the rich, handsome, talented person that walks into a room. There's just built-in hate. And then when you move here, people criticize us, but boy, Canadians spend a lot of money here and vacation here and live here. They kind of like us. So let's stop worrying about how this lands. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Tony Blair is a former prime minister of England, and he went on a Charlie Rose show about 5 years ago, and I was sitting at home watching it. That's how bored I am. And Charlie Rose said, Obama was our president. And he said, you know, don't you worry about, what do you make of these comments that the ugly American? And Tony Blair said, I wouldn't worry about it. You're America. Like, there's a built-in jealousy. Our agriculture, our geographic location, our mountains, our seas, our democracy, our power, our economy, our military. A lot of this stuff is built in. You can't stop apologizing. Don't worry about it. There are people. I mean, I've heard this before. Tom Brady is arrogant. Show me the singular clip in 18 years where he's arrogant. Well, he yelled at Josh McDaniel. That's called sports. Kobe, Michael Jordan yell. You don't call Michael Jordan arrogant. He punched a teammate. He got coaches fired. Show me the clip where Tom Brady's arrogant. Find the piece of video. If Josh McDaniels yelling for a second is arrogance, then what's Michael Jordan? What's LeBron used to bump into Eric Spoelstra? I don't consider LeBron arrogant or Michael arrogant or Tom Brady arrogant. I consider them to be competitors. And during games, people get lathered up and worked up and alpha and ego. This is just nonsense. Soccer scoring is rare. World Cups are even rarer. We let our guys be bravado and women get hammered because this. Half a second? Steph Curry pretended to poop on a floor in the NBA and half the country thought it was hysterical. But Colin, it's representing the country. So's our president. The same people criticizing this are probably defending him. I'd worry more about that than I would about this. By the way, teams in the World Cup on average, and again, every 4 years, twice a decade, on average score 1.4 goals a match. Nick Wright earlier, rarely do we agree. We did on this.
This is great. And by the way, the targeted needle celebration, I love even more. I wish more NFL teams would bring this out where you're going after your specific opponent, not just your own little dance move. And I love that we did it to England. And I know, Colin, your wonderful late mother is British, so I hope you don't take this the wrong way. But England, you've had to hold this L for 240 years. Tomorrow's July 4th in this country. We've been whooping you via sea, via land, and now in your sport. Your sport, you got to hold this L, England. Thank you, Alex Morgan.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's global gamesmanship. It's fun. For the record, you do get in soccer. Landon Donovan, our greatest scorer, once scored a goal against somebody, and I think like a slip and slide. He went in a 40-foot slide. Josie Altidore scored a goal a year ago, took his shirt off.
I could see if this was outside of the culture of soccer, but they literally celebrate this way for every goal. The announcers drag it out. It was like 15 seconds of screaming the word goal. It makes no sense.
The most iconic picture in American soccer history is a young lady after scoring a goal against
Brandi
China.
Chastain.
Pulling a shirt off. That's soccer. This is the culture of it. You don't score much. And in World Cup play, people celebrate in soccer when you score in division play.
It would be like someone getting upset that someone from the U.S. men's national basketball team did a tomahawk dunk during a game. It's the equivalent. This is literally what they do after every single goal.
Our dream team beat Angola by 60, and we were elbowing players and laughing at them. We were all good with that and celebrated it. Half a second sip and tea drove people nuts.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Jared Dudley, friend of the show, 12 years in the NBA. It was years ago the ACC Player of the Year. Just signed a one-year deal with the Lakers, 2.6 large. And Jared Dudley is joining us as the newest Laker. So let's Jared start with this. What were the factors that led you to your decision to come to the Lakers?
Well, you know, first, the team's got to want you. It was basically a three-team race with Detroit, Brooklyn, and the Lakers. And for me, it's opportunity. I know, obviously, Kevin Durant signed with Brooklyn. I just saw the opportunity starting first. Obviously, you know, people talk about LeBron James, but it was huge with Anthony Davis. That was a huge one of my decisions because I think people forget, you know, kind of like Kawhi last year when he was hurt, how talented he was. And through the trade rumors, man, at one point in time, they were talking about Anthony Davis being the best, if not the second best player in the league. And I think people have forgotten. I think this year is going to remind him. So definitely humbled and thankful for him to want me to be a teammate. I know that his influence is huge, and I'm definitely happy.
Well, it's interesting. LeBron's played with Bosch and Kevin Love, and at times he's always played well with shooters. You're a big guard or a small forward. You're a shooter, and so you'll work with him fine. That his career is shooters work with LeBron. Bigs have not always been a perfect fit. How do you think LeBron and AD fit together?
I think very well, because you got to think about this. The game has changed even since LeBron was in Miami with Bigs. Obviously, Kevin Love had it because this is a different big he's ever had. I mean, let's be honest. Anthony Davis has guard skills. He can shoot the three. He can score one-on-one dominant. In my mind, he's the first option. Anthony Davis is going to be the future of the NBA these next 4 or 5 years. Yes, you have Giannis, but I'm telling you how big of a season. So I think LeBron, I'm not going to say take a step back, but you reflect on what this team needs. And this team needs Anthony Davis to be the number one scoring option. Kawhi comes in 1A, 1B when it comes to that, but when you hit your later part of the career, you know, Colin, you've been all over it. You kind of reflect and know what you have to do to finish it up.
Now, Kawhi could be added to this. That's a lot of mouths to feed. You know, you've been on a lot of teams and talented teams. Could I just say this? The team will be top heavy because of all the money on the top players, and there won't be enough to fortify the bench. I mean, does that worry you at all?
It doesn't worry me because that's when you get veterans out like myself. You heard rumors about Iguodala possibly free, but guys with buyouts, guys that want to sacrifice. You still have guards out like Rajon Rondo, guys that have been at elite level. So, yeah, if you want to use the word top heavy, yeah, you can do that because obviously any of these times you have three guys that are probably arguably top five in the NBA. But, I mean, trust me, it's going to be easy to find guys that shoot. It's finding guys with that right high IQ, making the right play for these three guys, potentially. Obviously, you don't know, even if it's not. Those two top guys, let them be able to work and give them space to operate.
You know, you were in Brooklyn, and, you know, they just landed DeAndre Jordan, a Kyrie, and Kevin Durant. I don't know if you'll be comfortable saying this, but did you know before everybody else they were coming?
I knew probably about a couple of days before. Okay. I wasn't like weeks before. I knew they were contemplating it. It was a three package deal of all three of them. You know, obviously they had their conversations of that. I know obviously the Knicks were somewhat involved because obviously DeAndre played for them and got to voice his experience of that front office and that and his excitement. And then obviously I had conversations with him. But you know, they've been working on it for a while, man. I mean, everyone knows. Just like how we talked about a year before, players talk about it, man. This is a talking communication league, and these guys want to team up and guys want to play with each other.
Do you think it'll work there? I mean, you played in Brooklyn. They don't get the press that the Knicks do. The New York media tends to leave you a little more alone in Brooklyn. Is that a help for this potential group?
I think that's definitely a help. I mean, I think with Kyrie and Durant's personalities, I think it only could be a positive. I think that the notion that the Knicks will have the headlines compared to like the Lakers and Clippers, I think it's going to be false, especially when Durant comes back. I think it could be 50-50 while Kyrie's there, but once Durant comes, it's going to be on fire there. Kind of like the Miami Heat when they had got together. I just think that the potential, Kenny Atkinson's a phenomenal coach. Sean Marks, as you talked on your show, how well he's done having no first-round draft pick for 2-3 years, accumulating talent and getting to the playoffs. They're definitely on the up, and I expect them to take over New York here in the next 2 to 3 years.
D'Angelo, you played with him, and by the way, he had a bad rep, and then this year in Brooklyn, everybody liked him. Has he grown up? What did you make of the transformation?
Oh, man, for sure. Man, just think about it, Colin. I mean, how many things would you take back that you did stupid in college? I mean, I know I could take 2 or 3. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I know we live in the social media era. People make mistakes. Some are stupider than others. Let's be honest. I mean, how about Baker Mayfield when he was the DUI he had, or remember drinking that he had? Man, yeah, he made a mistake. And I think that you see not only his maturity, man, his hard work. That boy busted his butt all summer. He stayed in New York the whole time, working out with the team, working on his individuals. When I got there, you heard about his reputation. It was totally false. He worked on his butt. He got into the film room. He just wanted to get better. It's going to be interesting to see the fit. I'm just happy he got the max contract.
You know, you're a student of basketball. You'll probably transfer into broadcasting after it. You certainly could. And when you look at Kawhi Leonard, I see he's in Toronto today, and the Canadian TV's got his jet and his Suburban and his meeting. It's all televised. And, you know, he's such a unique individual. Would you be shocked if he stayed in Toronto?
No. I mean, if anything, the odds, I mean, history shows you when you win a championship, you stay. I know that we're different now. The times have changed, and being from L.A. and you have two L.A. teams, you know, are both good, both on the uprise and both here in your home that you get to choose from. So I know it's a tough decision, but at the end of the day, they won a championship. He grew up a Laker fan, the history. Now you have two future Hall of Famers right here that he could play with. You have top, you know, arguably, like I said last night, the best, most loyal fans. You know, since I've been a Laker, I mean, my social media has been blowing up like it's never had before in my whole 11 years of my career. So what is he looking for? I wouldn't be shocked, but I also wouldn't be shocked if he chose the purple and gold.
Do you think like LeBron and Anthony Davis are actively recruiting him? Like some guys don't want to recruit, right? Like I've heard like certain guys in the NBA are not recruiters. You tend to be a very communicative, verbal guy. You'd probably be a great recruiter. Do you think LeBron?
I'd be top five recruiter. No, I mean, I can't speak for LeBron, but I would hope so. I mean, I would hope so. I mean, would you, if you're joining a franchise and you're changing your life, moving your family somewhere, wouldn't you want the players, the organization, owner, GM to make a phone call, reach out, and let's talk about it? I mean, I would think it's a very important decision. It's like any person that changes jobs. You're going to talk about it with your wife, your kids. You're going to talk about it maybe with your father. You're going to make a phone call. So for LeBron, you would think some sort of communication has been made. Anthony Davis and being involved, man. I mean, I think people tend to forget about him on that. Man, this man's got a voice. You see how he wanted to change his legacy and being more vocal of where you want to be, man. The empowerment Anthony Davis is going to have, man, is going to be huge in his league.
You know, it's funny. KD is going to take a little less money that he could have made. Jimmy Butler's going to take an extra year in Philadelphia. He could have made more. A lot of these NBA stars, I mean, if Kawhi left, he'd leave $50 million guaranteed on the table. I would have a hard time leaving $50 million guaranteed. But I keep watching all these stars make little financial sacrifices. Explain that to me.
Now, here's the thing. Like, how much of a financial sacrifice if you get it up in the back end? So if Kawhi signed a one-and-one and then got his 10 years of service, and end up signing a five-year deal. Is it really $50 million? Does it end up being $15 million? So I'm with you on that. When you look at your, you know, we all have financial advisors. You look at your portfolio and you see, hey, someone like, you know, a superstar has $200-300 million he's made. You have $100 million possibly in the bank. Are you going to look back in life and say, yeah, I could have had $140 million, but overall I added a couple championships, my legacy. I went to a franchise that for the rest of my life, you see what James Worthy's done, Magic Johnson. Come on, man. We talk about Magic Johnson, 30, 40 years from him playing. You talk about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal. History goes with guys, and guys that don't have history, they will fade out.
Hmm. All said and done, you think Kawhi is choosing the Lakers?
Yes.
Do you have any inside information?
No. No inside information. I just think that, I think that, you know, when it comes to being from L.A. and wanting to be home, and when you're a kid growing up, no one thought about the Clippers. No disrespect to them. Great organization. Everyone's a Laker fan. San Diego, all the way up to all the Northern California, people are Laker fans. And this is the opportunity to build your legacy in history. It'll be a different legacy, but it's something that, you know, Lakers not making the playoffs. You can build something here. And you've done something in San Antonio. You've done something in Toronto. And now it's time to come home.
When do you think he makes his mind up?
I'm hoping not the 4th of July, man. Everybody's trying to have a little fun. I ain't trying to be on my phone 4th of July like Durant a couple years ago. So I'm hoping meets with Toronto, give himself, you know, into tonight. Let's hopefully have some fireworks tonight.
Yeah. All right. So I follow you on Twitter. You follow me. Would you slide into my DMs if you hear anything? That'd be nice.
Nah, man. I'm a Laker, man. We got strictly business.
Jared Dudley, it's great talking to you, buddy.
Appreciate you, man.